On Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, on the top of the Amud, we discussed in the last shir a pasuk in Yoshua Perek Hey. There it says, "Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimochras ha'pesach," which means that when Bnei Yisrael entered into the land, they ate from the new tvua that grew, but only after Yontiv Rishon Shel Pesach, meaning on Tezayin B'Nisan. And the Gemara had a difficulty. If you hold that Moshav means Eretz Yisrael Li'achar Yerusha V'Yeshiva, which means that the Iser Chodosh is not activated until after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, which is before Yerusha V'Yeshiva, there was no nihug of Iser Orla of Iser Chodesh Menatua Chadasha. Is Lialter, immediately they should have eaten from the Tvua Sa'aretz. Why did they wait until Mochras Yontif? And the Gemara answers, because they had a surplus of man that they had taken from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, and there was no need to eat from Tvuas Haaretz until they consumed all the leftover man. Now the Gemara goes on to prove that indeed there was leftover man in their kelim. Dichsiv, the Torah says, U'bnei Yisrael, this is on the third line down, B'nei Yisrael ochlu es hamon Arboim Shana Adboam El Eretz Noshaves Eshamon Ochlu Adboam El Ktse Eretz Kenan. There's a certain element of repetition here in this pasuk in Shmos Tezayin. On the one hand, it seems that the 40-year period of Achilas Haman in the Midbar terminated when they got into Eretz Nosheves. Eretz Nosheves means in Eretz Yisrael proper. They went into the land of Israel. But then the pasuk says, Es Haman Ochlu Adboam El Ktzei Eretz Kanaan. Now Ktzei Eretz Kanaan is before they entered into Eretz Yisrael. That's called Eivar Yarden. That's the land in Arvas Moav, the land of Sichon v'Og, that was conquered by Bnei Yisrael and designated for Reuven, Gad, and half of Shev Menashe for settlement purposes. That's what we call Eivar Yarden. It means the eastern side of the Yarden before they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So now we have a seeming contradiction as to when was the last time they ate the man. The Gemara says, "Efsho lomar," we cannot assume ad boam el eretz no shaves that they continued eating the man until they entered into the land. That's an untenable position, shekvar nemar, because the pasuk says, "El ktzei eretz kanaan," which means that they only ate from the man until they reached Eivar Yarden. E'ef Shalom, on the other hand, El Ktzei Eretz Kanaan, that they ate the man up until but not beyond Eivar Yarden, Shayek Far Nerad Bom El Eretz Noshavas, even after they entered into Eretz Yisrael. HaKetzad, how do we reconcile this seeming contradiction? B'Shiva B'Ador Meis Moshe. The Gemara soon is going to prove that Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar. Uposak Hamon Mileret. Because the man, the Gemara tells us in Masech Tainis, was Bischus Moshe. So after Moshe died, the man ceased coming down from the Shamayim. But nevertheless, Vayu Mistapkin Mimon Shebeklehem, they still had leftover man in their kelim from that very day, in that very morning of Zion Adar, the death of Moshe. And that lasted ad Shisha Sar Benisan, as we saw in the Pasuk in Yoshua, ad Mimochras HaPosach. So now the pasuk could be interpreted this way. What it says at the beginning of the pasuk, that they ate the man until they entered into Eretz Yisrael, it means that there was a surplus of man in their kelim from the Yerida of Zion Biadar. So that when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they still had leftover man. And that which it says in the pasuk, Adbom el Ktzei Eretz Kenan, which means up until the point when they came into Evra Yarden, that means that up until that day, the man came down from Shamayim. On a daily basis, the man would come down in Shamayim ad Bar Mel Ktzei Eretz Kenan until they reached Evra Yarden, and Moshe died on the 7th of Adar. But that which it says at the beginning of the pasuk, ad Bar Mel El Eretz Noshaves, that means that they continued eating the man that was left over, and that's why there was no need to eat from the Tevuah Chadash until Tezayim B'Nisan, because that's when the man was completely consumed. Technically, halachically, they were permitted, they could have eaten from the Tevuah Chadash, because the requirement of Moshe tells me up until Yerusha v'Yeshiva, so when they entered into the land, they certainly could have eaten from the Tevuah Chadash. They didn't need the matir of the Omer, but nevertheless, since they had man, that's what they eat. That's what they ate. Now, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that deals with this period of time of Yeridas Haman. The man began to fall from Shamayim on Tetzayin Be'iyar, a month and change after they left Mitzrayim. And the man fell for a period of 40 years. And that would mean that the man should have continued until Tezayin Be'iyar in the 40th year. And yet we know that the man terminated on Zayin Adar, so that's not a full 40 years. So that's what this brice is going to address. Tanya, either we have a brice of Bnei Yisrael, Ochlu Asamon, Arboim Shana. The pasuk testifies in Parashas Beshalach, in Shmos Tezayin, that for 40 years, Bnei Yisrael ate the man. So now the brice asks, V'chi Arboim Shana Ochlu, could they have possibly eaten the man for 40 full years? V'alo, Arboim Shana Chaser Shloshim Yom Ochlu. You have to subtract a full month, because if the man began to fall on Tezayin Be'iyar, and they ate it up until Tezayin B'Nisan, after they entered into the land, you minus 1 month. Ela Lomar Lecha, this teaches us, Ugos Shahotzi Mimitzrayim Ta'amu Bahem Tam Mon. The Torah describes the special taste of man. Again, in Parashas Beshalach, it says, V'tamo kitzapiches bidvash. The Gemara Masech the Yuma tells us that any time that you wanted, you could taste in the man, and that everybody had a taste which he felt, which would reflect his needs. The children would have a sweet taste, the Narim would have the taste of bread, the Zakenim a taste of Shemen, etc., etc. And now the Ugos, which Bnei Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim, had the taste of man. The Ben Ish Chai explains that the taste of man in the Ugos, when they left Mitzrayim, was sort of like a transition. Man was a spiritual food. These Ugos were a bit physical, a bit spiritual. It was sort of the middle of the road here, between Lechem Gashmi and Lechem Ruchni. And this was a way in which Bnei Yisrael were prepared for the Lechem Gashmi, for the Lechem Ruchni of the Midbar when they left Mitzrayim. So this period of time is considered a period of time in which they ate man, even though technically they weren't man mamish. The man didn't start falling until a little bit later on. And they ate the Ugos, which had which had the taste of man. And that was the transition period from the 15th of Nisan until the 16th of Iyar, when the man actually began falling. Now, before we said that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that proves it from the Mikros. Tanya Idach, we have an additional brisa, B'shiva B'Adar Meis Moshe, B'shiva B'Adar Nolad. Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, and ipso facto, he must have been born on the 7th of Adar. And we'll see how the brisa is going to prove first that he died on the 7th of Adar, and therefore he must have been born on the 7th of Adar. Minayin, how do we know Shabbashiva B'Adar Meis Moshe died on the 7th of Adar? Shenemar, the pasuk at the end of the Chumash says, Vayomes Shom Moshe Eved Hashem, Moshe died in Eretz Moav. Uksiv, and it says Vayivku Bnei Yisrael Moshe B'Arvos Moshe B'Arvos Moav Shloshim Yom. There was a period of Avelus in which Bnei Yisrael cried over the loss of Moshe for 30 days in Arvos Moav. Uksiv, at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, it says, Vayhi achrei mos Moshe eved Hashem. The pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua bin Nun. Uksiv, Moshe avdi meis v'ata kum avar. Es hayarden hazeh la'aretz asher anochi nosein lahem levnei Yisrael. This tzivui that was transmitted to Yoshua was after the period of the 30 days of Bechi, of Avelus for the death of Moshe. We have a rule that Ein Hashchina Shora Mitoch Atzvus. So during that period of Atzvus, of sadness and grief, there was no Shechina, and therefore there was no Dibur to Yoshua. Uksiv, on that very day, Yoshua prepared the people to cross the Yarden, and he commanded the Shotrei Ha'am, Ivru, Bekerav HaMachne, V'tzavu Es Ha'am, Lemar Hachinu Lachem Tzedok, Ki Biod Shloshes Yomim, Tavru Es HaYarden. So there was a 3-day period from the time that Hashem gave the Tzivui to Yoshua, Kum, Avor Es HaYarden Hazeh, and during that 3-day period, after the tzivui, the people were meant to prepare tzeda ladorech uksiv, and the pasuk says va'am olu min hayarden be'esor lachodesh harishon. The day in which they crossed the Yarden was the 10th of Nisan. Tzemehem, so if you move backwards from Yud Nisan, on the day that they went to the Yarden, Shloshim Ushlosha Yomim L'mafreya, go back 33 days from the 10th of Nisan. Because what you're subtracting here is the 30 days of Bechi, of Evel Moshe, plus the 3 days of Hachana, from the time of the Tzivui, of Kumavar Esayarden, until they actually crossed the Yarden, they had a 3-day period of preparation of Tzedol Adarech. If you take Yud B'Nisan, the day that they crossed the Yarden, and you go back 33 days, it means the Tzivui of Hashem was on the 8th of Nisan, and you subtract 30 days of Yimei Bechi V'Yofel, so Moshe died 30 days before the 8th of Nisan, and you calculate Zion Ba'adar, Holomadito Shebeshiva Ba'adar Meis Moshe, Uminayin Shebeshiva Adar Ba'adar Nolad Moshe. How do you know that Moshe was born on the 7th of Adar? Shenemar, the Pasuk says at the end of Dvarim, on the day that Moshe died, it says, Vayomer Aleihem. Moshe speaks, he addresses the Bnei Yisrael on the last day of his life. Ben Me'a V'Yesrim Shana Anochi Ayom Lo Uchal Od Latzeis V'Lavo. Now the Moshe Rabbeinu in this speech, he adds the word Hayom. She'ein Talmud Lomar Hayom. What does it mean when he says Hayom? He could have said Ben Me'a V'Yesrim Shana Anochi Ma Talmud Lomar Hayom. Why did Moshe add the day? And the answer is that was the day in which Moshe reached the birthday of 120 years. This teaches us HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'malesh Noseim Shal Tzadikim Yom L'Yom Mechodesh L'Chodesh Shenemar Es Mispar Yomecha Amale. The Tzadikim will live up until, or let's say it the other way around, the Tzadikim will die on the day in which they were born. That's called Mispar Yomecha Amale. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'malesh Shnoseim Shal Tzadikim Yom L'Yom Michodesh L'Chodesh. So it means not only will they die in the same month that they were born, but on the same day within the month that they were born. And of course, there's a whole discussion here about many tzaddikim who didn't die on the day of their birth. The Chazon Ish, for example, says that this is not a klal b'chol makom. This is not an absolute rule that if you didn't die on the day of your birth, you're not a tzaddik. It proves you're not a tzaddik. There are plenty of tzaddikim that died on a day other than their birthday on which they were born. There's also a marsha in this sugya, and there's a taz of significance, and you'll see this all in the footnotes here. The Taz addresses the case of somebody who died on the 30th day of the month, and that was a mole, a chodesh mole, the following year, which would be the year of his yahrzeit. That month was a chaser, and the Taz insists that the yahrzeit be commemorated on Chaf Tes L'Chodesh, on the 29th of the month. So it means that the yahrzeit is not exactly 12 months after the death. Here too, it's quite possible that when the Gemara establishes Yom V'Chodesh, it all depends whether the year in which the tzaddik was born, it was a Chodesh Mole, and he was born on the 30th of that month, the year that he died, it was a Chodesh Chaser that same month, and then Yom Shloshim would be the first day of the next month. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Memali Lo Michodesh L'Chodesh. It means, if he dies on the last day of one month, then he was born on that same month, even though it's only the 29th of that month. It's not the 30th. So there could be that discrepancy of one day. Now we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah establishes that, according to the Shita of Eliezer at least, there are three Isurim. Everybody agrees there are two Isurim that are noeg, even in Chutzlarts, despite the fact that it's a Chovas Karak, that's Oral and Kalayim. And then we have a Machlokas regarding a third possible candidate, namely Chadosh. Tanya, we learned in a Brice, Reb Shem Ben Yochai Omer, Shalosh mitzvos nitztavu b'nei Yisrael v'knisosim la'aretz. There are three mitzvos which the people of Israel were commanded when they entered into the land, but not before. Chadosh, Arla, and Kelayim. And this is a big chiddush, because v'nagos bein b'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. Since these mitzvos apply even in chutzlatz, we would have anticipated that they should be nagos even before they entered the land in the Midbar. But nevertheless, the tzivui came when they entered into the land. V'hu adin, and logically we should have said, sheyinagu, they should apply bein v'aretz u'bein b'chutz l'aretz, and we should derive them from a kal v'chomer from chadash. In other words, Arla and Kalayim apply in Chutz Laretz with a kal v'chomer from chadash. Uma chadash, relative to Arla, chadash is what we call an Isur Kal. She ein Isuro Isur Olam. That grain which is Asur v'chadash becomes mutter after Tetzayim ben Nisan. And furthermore, ve'ein isuro isur hanah, chadash is mutar b'hanah, that's a sugya in other places in Shas, in Psachim, to prove that there's no isur hanah in chadash. And thirdly, ve'yesh heter li'isuro. In other words, even within the time period of the isur, which means that the Isur should apply until the end of Tezayim B'Nisan. Nevertheless, if they brought the Omer that morning, the Chadash becomes Yashan, it becomes Mutar. So the three Kulos that we find in Chadash, which parallel three Chumros in Orla and Kelayim, are number one, that Chadash itself becomes Mutar after Tetzayim B'Nisan. Number two, that Chadash is Mutar B'Anon. Number three, that Chadash becomes Mutar after the bringing of the Omer, even on that very day in which it should be Asur. And yet, Noeg, Bein Bar, it's Bein Bechutz, despite all these Kulos, Chadash is applicable even in Chutz Laretz. According to that Shita, is Kelayim, She'isuram, Isur Olam, V'Isur, V'Isuram, Isur Anav, V'Einai Terel, Isuram, Eino Din, She'inog, Bein Varetz, V'Bein B'Chutz Laretz, Kelayim, in the parallel way, has three Chumros. Number one, it's an Isur Olam. Kelayim never becomes Mutu with the passage of time. Number two, Kelayim are Osur Behanah, and that's based on the Pasuk, Tukdash lo tizra kalayim pen tikdash hamalea. Tikdash is like a lashon of hegdesh, which means isur anah in this case. And finally, ein hetera, ein hetel isuran. Once the isur is chal, there's no matir whatsoever. It's not like in the case of chodesh where you have a matir of havas haomer. It's how much more so that kalayim should have the chumrah of Chadash and be noeg even in Chutz Laretz. For who had din liarla b'shtayim means Arla doesn't have all three chumras that Kelayim have, but Arla has two out of the three. Here, there's machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam how to identify the two out of the three. The Iser of Arla applies with an Iser Hanah, generates an Iser Hanah. That's not a subject of debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So that for sure checks off and has the same chumra as Kelayim, the Isra Anah. What is the other chumra that Orla has? So Rashi says that there's no heter within the three years of the Isra Orla, right? Orla is the first 3 years that the tree produces its fruit. And during that three-year period, there's no matir that would parallel the Omer in the case of Chadash. However, the third chumra that we saw in Kelayim, in contrast to Chadash, namely, that Isuro Isur Olam, that, says Rashi, does not apply in the case of Orla. Orla would be Ein Isuro Isur Olam. Why? Because after the third year, the fruits are Mutar Bachila Ubana. Rashi apparently understands that Neter Ravai, going in the fourth year, is an extension of Orla, and yet you take Neter Ravai into Eretz Yisrael, and you eat it, the Kedusha B'Tara, like Maisa Sheni. And there's certainly no Iser Achil and Anah. So that itself means that the Iser is not an Iser Olam. Rabbeinu Tam is not a happy camper here. He says those fruits that were already Asur as Arla, meaning they grew in the first 3 years, is they are Asurim Iser Olam. Those fruits that were produced, that grew on the tree in the fourth year, That's a whole different story. They were never Orla to begin with. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam offers an alternative interpretation of Asugya. And he wants to say that the two dinim of Chumra that are common to Isur Orla, the two dinim, not that there are two dinim that are lahakel in Orla, like Kelayim, in contrast to Chadash, but rather the two Isurim that are common to both Orla, two Chumras that are common to both Orla and Chadash. And they are, number one, the Isur Hanah, and number two, that the Pri is Nesar Isur Olam. I mean, those are the... I'm not sure what I just said, but just to clarify, there are two chumras in Orla that don't apply to Chadosh, meaning Chadosh is relatively speaking an Iser Kal, Le'umat, in contrast to Orla, because Chadosh is Mutabana and Orla is Asamana. Chadosh has a Heter Lisuro, because after Tetzai Menisan becomes Yoshin, it's Mutar, whereas Orla is the Pri itself is Nesar Iser Ola. However, the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that in Orla, there is a lack. What's missing in Orla is the chumrah of isuro isur olam, because peros shegodlu b'shana revius, that's netaravai, have a heter through pigeon. So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's a matir called pigeon. In any event, since Orla has two chumras, in contrast to Chadosh, whether or not those two chumras are the fact that there's no heter within the 3 years, or the fact that there's a heter pigeon after the fourth year, that's the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. But nevertheless, there are two chumras that apply to Orla, whereas we would be Mekil in Chadosh, and therefore this Kal v'chomer kicks in. And that leads us to the conclusion that certainly Orla, like Kilayim and like Chadosh, is no egg even in Chutz Loretz. That's the sheet of Rav Shim Bar Yochai. Now the Gemara quotes on dissenting view of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. He says, and now we're on Lamed Ches Omid Beis, Kol Mitzvah Shen Itztavu Yisrael Kodem K'nisoson La'aretz Noheges Bein Boretz Ubein B'chutz La'aretz. Now it's a classical Chovas Aguf, which doesn't depend upon Karka, and Klal Yisrael commanded before they entered into the land, applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. But let's say a mitzvah that was given, Hashem commanded in that mitzvah, li'achar k'nisosom la'aretz. That means that it is a chovas karka, is eino heges ela ba'aretz, chutz. And here he has two exceptions to the rule. Min hashmotas k'sofin. Now, shmita, of course, is a din in karka, and shmita is also a din in k'sofin. As far as karka is concerned, the ground produces peros that have kedusha shvius, and there are a host of isurim that apply to avodas hakarka during shvius. That's the chovas karka, but there's shvius bitoras chovas ksofim, which means hashmotas achovos. So if you owe me money and then the shmita year comes by, that shmita is meshamet the chov, and I can no longer collect my money from you. And that mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksofim, appears in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Tezvav, V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah Shamot Kol Baal Mashe Yodo, that a person who wants to demand repayment of a loan, but now the Shemitah passed over the loan, he's not allowed to do so, he violates a lav of Lo Yigos, and Shemitah is Meshamet the Chov. Now, again, whether it's Besov Shana, Tchila Shana, okay, that's a machlokes. We're not going to get into that now. But the second exception to the rule that's formulated here by Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is the case of Shiluach Avodin. The halacha is that if you are kone an Eved Ivri, then when Yovel comes, the Eved Ivri goes L'cheres. We had long discussions about this earlier in this perek. Now, regarding these two mitzvos, Shmitas Ksofim and Shiluach Avodim, is Afal Pish, and it's Tavu Aleim, Li'achar knisosam la'aretz. These mitzvos were given to Bnei Yisrael after they entered the land. Nevertheless, the mitzvos are no'agos, no'heges bein ba'aretz u'bein b'chutzlatz. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Lazar b'Rabbi Shimon, the Iser Chadash is limited to Eretz Yisrael because they got the Tzivui after they entered into the land. Again, there were only two exceptions to the rule where they got the Tzivui after they entered the land, and the mitzvah applies even in Chutz Laretz. But Chadash is not on that list. And therefore, the Iser Chadash is limited to Eretz Yisrael. And the reason for that is because they only got the Tzivui and Chadash when they entered into the land, as we discussed in the past. Any mitzvah that they were commanded on in this mitzvah when they entered into the land applies to Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. And Orel and Kalayim are not Asurim min HaTorah, according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, because they too were commands that were given after Bnei Yisrael entered into the land. And therefore, we're going to have to assume that any Iser Orla or Iser Kalayim and Chutzlatz is only Derabbanan, or perhaps a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. But that means that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon argues with his father Reb Shimon, who is of the opinion that the Iser Chadash, like Orel and Kalayim, is Noig Min HaTorah, even in Chutzlatz. And now the Gemara is going to ask a question on Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. How do you know? You're saying that they didn't get the Tzivu of Shemitah's Ksof until after they entered into the land. And if that be the case, you ask yourself the question, how does Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon know such a thing? After all, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon understands that Shemitah's Ksofim, as opposed to Shemitah's Karka, is a Chovas HaGuf, and it doesn't depend upon Eretz Yisrael, applies even in Chutz Laretz. So how does he know that the Tzivui was given only when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, not before? It would have been more logical to assume that the Tzivui on Hashmatas Ksofim would have been addressed to Bnei Yisrael before they entered into the land. It's a classical Chovas HaGuf. And the Gemara answers, Lo Nitzricha El L'Chidesanya. The Sanya Rebbe Omer, in the Parsha of Shemitas Ksofim that we mentioned earlier, in Dvarim Tesvav, the Pasuk says, V'zeh dvar ha-shmitah shamot. There's a double language, shmitah shamot. The rest of the pasuk says, kol bal mashe yodo asher yashiv b'riyehu. So why this double language, shmitah shamot? There's a remez here that this parsha, b'shtei shmitos ha-kosim davar achas shmitas karka ve'achas shmitas ksofim. The Torah is speaking here about two different Shemitos. One is the seventh year as far as Riyah, Harisha, and all the Malachas, and one is Shemitas Ksofim to break up the Chovos. And the remez here is that since the Shemitas Karka is being given in the Parsha of Shemitah, in other words, the mitzvah of Shemitas Karka in the Parsha of Shemitas Ksofim, is we're going to equate the two. Bizman shato mishamet karka, ato mishamet ksofim. Bizman shi iato mishamet karka, iato mishamet ksofim. The Torah makes Shemitas ksofim contingent upon Shemitas karka, and therefore Shemitas ksofim will only apply at a time period when Shemitas karka is activated, is in effect. And therefore, you're not chayav in Shemitas Chovo, Shemitas Ksofim, according to Rebbe, unless we enter into Eretz Yisrael. Because since Shemitas Ksofim depends upon Shemitas Karka, and Shemitas Karka as a Chovas Karka depends upon Knisal Eretz Yisrael, it's a mitzvah tluya baretz, is therefore ipso facto, the mitzvah of Shemitas Ksofim was also given together with Shemitas Karka when they went into Eretz Yisrael, and there was no Shemitah's Ksofim before they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and they were knowing Shemitah's Karka. Shemitah's Karka is Tluya Ba'aretz, and therefore it would not apply until they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Shemitah's Ksofim, insofar it was as Shemitah's Ksofim depends upon Shemitah's Karka, and there's no Shemitah's Ksofim before Shemitah's Karka, it's a package deal, is therefore that mitzvah was given only when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon insists that this is an exception to the rule, that even though Shemitah's Ksofim is not a Chovas Karka, and the language of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is Afal Pishin It's Tav Aleihem Liachar Knisos Loretz No Heges Bein Boretz Bein Bechutz Loretz. And that sets up Shemitah's Ksofim as the exception to the rule of Kol Mitzvah Shin It's Tav Yisrael Kodem Knisos Loretz. No, Eges Bein Boretz, but Liachar Knisos Loretz in Eges El Boretz. Here's a case of Liachar Knisos Loretz, and it's no Eges even Bechutz Loretz. But how does Reb Elazar Reb Shimon know that the Tzivui on Shemitah's Ksofim was given after they entered into the land of Eretz Yisrael? That's from this double language of Zed Dvar HaShemitah Shamot. The Gemara now asks a question on Rebbe himself. The Ema b'Mokom Shato Meshamid Karka to Meshamid Ksofim Mokom She'ena to Meshamid Karka Ena to Meshamid Ksofim. Meaning, why don't we take this hekesh between Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Ksofim one step further, and not only limit it in terms of when the time, the kickoff time of both, meaning that Shemitah's Ksofim was only kicked off when they entered into the land, but why not extend it to incorporate, broaden the scope of this hekesh to include the place, the location where this mitzvah is chal. Meaning, just like Shemitah's Karka only applies in Eretz Yisrael, so too Shemitah's Ksofim should only apply in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laretz. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Ki kara Shemitah Lashem mikol makom. A special limud in Shemitah's Ksofim, in the parash that we mentioned earlier, it says, Kikara Shemitah Lashem. And that includes even in Chutz Laretz. Then we get to the case of the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim. And there too, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon insists that the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim applies even in Chutz Laretz. And the Gemara wants to know, why did Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon need to tell us that the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim applies, is active even in Chutz Laretz, Shiluach Avodim Chovas HaGufi, and any Chovas HaGuf applies even in Chutz Laretz? What was the Hama meaning to say otherwise? Salkadait Chamin, I would have thought, whole Uksiv in the parish of Shiluach Avodim. In Vayikur Chafei, it says, Ukrasim Drar Ba'aretz. And what does Ba'aretz imply? Ba'aretz in B'chutz Laretz Lo, Talmud Lomar Yovel He. I would have thought that Ba'aretz limits the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim to Aretz, to Eretz Yisrael. But the Pasuk says, Yovel He. And those two words in the Pasuk, reads, Yovel He, Shnasach HaMishim Shana Tiyah Lachem, those two words are extra superfluous. Mikol Makom, to teach us that the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim applies even in Chutz Laretz. The Gemara now asks him, Kein Matam Alom Baretz, so why did the Torah confuse us by saying Baretz? And the answer is, Bizman Shadrar Noeg Baretz, Noeg B'Chutz Laretz. When the Shiluach Avodim in Eretz Yisrael, then the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim applies even in Chutz Laretz. But if Ein Gerar Noeg Baretz, meaning if one of the conditions necessary in order to activate the halacha, the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim is lacking, for example, in Eretz Yisrael is halacha of Kol Yoshveh Aleha, is then you have the mitzvah of Shiluach Avodim in Chutz Laretz. But if there's no Kol Yoshveh Aleha, or let's say there's Kol Yoshveh Aleha in Blow the Shofar, there was no Shiluach Avodim, there are many different conditions that must be fulfilled in order for the mitzvah of shiluach avodim to be noeg in Eretz Yisrael. If any of those conditions were lacking, then not only does that freeze the mitzvah of shiluach avodim in Eretz Yisrael, it likewise freezes the mitzvah of shiluach avodim in chutzlach, which normally applies. So there's a contingency here between shiluach avodim in chutzlach and shiluach avodim in Eretz Yisrael. We had already learned the machlokas between Reb Shimon and his son Reb Lazar with regard to the Issur Chodesh and Arla and Kalayim in Chutzlaretz. Is that an Issur Doraisa or only an Issur Drabanon? The Gemara now brings a third Shita. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Arla, HaChadosh, Asur Minatorah. Mishnah in Arla is going to divide up Chadosh, Arla, and Kelayim into three distinct categories. HaChadosh, Asur Minatorah, we're talking about Ktsira and Achil until after the Omer is brought onto Zayim and Issa B'chol Mokom. Whether or not this Tvuah was grown in Eretz Yisrael, it was Tvuah that was grown in Chutz Laretz. And in that sense, we've already seen that Shita, that Arla in Chutz Laretz is Doraisa. However, with regard, that Chadosh in Chutz Laretz is Doraisa. However, with regard to Arla, is Halacha. And we'll soon see what the word Halacha means. Kelayim, which is Klai Akerim, is Midivrei Sofrim, applies in Chutz Laretz only Midrabanon. So the Gemara asks, my halacha, what does it mean that Arla in Chutz Laretz is halacha? And here we have two shitos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hilchasa Medina. Hilchasa Medina means in Issur Drabanon, that the Chiv Arla in Paris Chutz Laretz is only a minog, Shen Higu Alehem B'nei Chutz Laretz Lahach Mibidavar. It was a minog in B'nei Chutz Laretz to take upon themselves this Chumrah of Arla. Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha L'Moshe Misinai. This is a Doraisa, but it's not in the Pasuk itself. It's only a halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara now records a kasha of Ula and Shmuel. Shmuel holds that Arla in Chutz Laretz is Hilchas Medina. Amalei Ula Rabbi Yochanan, Le Rabbi Yehuda, Bishleim L'didi. According to my understanding, the Amina, I said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Arla in Chutz Laretz halacha l'moshe misinai is Hainu Dishanilan Bein Safek Arla L'Safek Kilayim. I can justify the Mishnah that we're about to learn that distinguishes between Arla in Chutz Laretz and Kelayim in Chutz Laretz as far as the dinim of Safek is concerned. We're going to be more machmir in Arla than we are in Kelayim. This now we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Arla, if you have an orchard full of fruits, Safek Arla, you don't know whether it's Arla or not, and that could divide up into different scenarios. For example, you don't know if 3 years passed since the planting of the tree. Or, for example, you have many trees in your orchard, and you don't know which one. You know some of them, or one of them, is also midin Arla. You don't know which one. Is in such a case, Be'aretz Asur, if this Safek Arla was in Eretz Yisrael, is then, we say, Safek Lechumra, because of a classical application of the rule Safek Deraisa L'Chumra. Now we have a second category of Surya, that's called the Mekomos HaSmuchim L'Eretz Yisro, which were conquered by David HaMelech when he expanded the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. On a Deraisa level, they don't have the status of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael because it's a Kibush Yachid. Nevertheless, there is an Iser Arla Midrabanan in Surya. And that Isur only applies in the case of Vadai, but in the case of Safek, Mutter. And that's only with regard to fruits that were already taken off the tree. You've already harvested them. So Surya is like Chutz Laretz, and therefore Safek, Arla, and Chutz Laretz is Mutter, as the Mishnah is about to say now. But nevertheless, you don't tell the mocher, let's say for example it's a guy who owns the orchard. You don't tell him, please take off these fruits that you know are suffic orla on my behalf. That you don't do. But if the fruits are already taken off, you're allowed to buy those fruits. Bechutz laretz, you can go even a step further, is yored v'lokeach. The Yisrael himself could go down to the orchard that's owned by the goy, let's say. Chutzlaretz means places that are far away from Eretz Yisrael, not like Syria that borders on Eretz Yisrael and was expanded and included in the bounds of Eretz Yisrael when David went to those battles. But in Chutzlaretz mamish, there the din is that the Yisrael is allowed to go down into the field, and he's allowed to harvest the fruits. Ubilvad shlo yiren locate. In other words, that another Yisrael should not see him do this act of lakitas aperos, taking the fruits off the tree, because he may come to the mistaken conclusion that it's a Yisrael who owns the field and it's vaday orla. So that's a Marisayan kind of halacha v'isem nekiyim. The ilu gabe kelayim, but we're going to find a kula in kelayim in a parallel case of safek tnan. We learned in the same mishnah kerem hanatua yerek. He's got yerokos that were planted amongst the gefanim, amongst the grape the vineyard, and yerek nimkar chutzalo. The law is that as far as this yerek is concerned, the Baal HaBayis can sell it chutz lekerem. If he's selling it chutz lekerem, then even though he's selling outside of the kerem the same yerek, the same, let's say, species of vegetables that are inside the kerem and are kilayim because they were planted close to the vines, is the law is ba'aretz, if it would have happened in Eretz Yisrael, and now you have a serious suffix, you don't know whether this yerek that he's selling outside the vineyard is indeed kilayim, is also you're not allowed to buy this yerek. Maybe that yerek is also b'kilayim, that's in Eretz Yisrael, b'suria mutar, in Chutz Laretz, in the Makomos HaSmuchim Laretz Yisrael, you're allowed to buy this Yerek, and you don't have to assume, even though it's the same min as the Yerek that's Gadol Bekerem, that is Kilayim, that this Yerek that he's selling you is Kilayim. B'Chutz Laretz, they even would make you further than that. Yore, the Baal HaBayis, the guy is allowed to go down to the kerem, will locate, and he's allowed to be instructed or to work on behalf of the Yisrael to harvest this yerek, to take it out of the, detach it from the ground, even though it's vadai kilayim. In other words, the lakita here is on the yerek that's natua with the kerem, in the kerem. It's a kerem natuam yerek. And the guy is allowed to bevachal yilkal biyad. The Yisrael is not allowed to do it himself, but he's allowed to have the guy do it on his behalf. It means that the Chachamim, when they prohibited kelayim and chutzlarts, they didn't prohibit except for the creation of the kelayim, which means zriya. Or alternatively, the lakita biyadayim, when the Jew himself takes the kelayim out. In Syria, we were more machmir, and we asked even the achila. But nevertheless, the bottom line is that Ula has a proof here from this Mishnah in Orla that we're more makil in Orla. I'm sorry, we're more makil in Kalayim than we are in Orla. So let's formulate Ula's question in the following way. We'll give it a formulation. Bishlema, if you can agree with me that the Isar Orla and Chutzlaretz is halacha l'moshe miSinai, whereas the Isar Kelayim and Chutzlaretz is clearly only a Drabanan, we can justify why we were more makil in Kelayim than we were in Orla. Ela l'didach, but according to you, that's what he's attacking Rabbi Yehuda. That you maintain that Yisar Orla and Chutz Laretz is only Minaga Medina, and Orla and Kelayim therefore both equal. Because both of them in Chutz Laretz are not Osir Min HaTorah. And here we turn to Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Is Nisne O Zeh V'Zeh Yored V'Lokeach, O Zeh V'Zeh Yored V'Lokeit. There should be an absolute equation between Orla and Kelayim in one of two ways. Either you can tell the Yisrael in both cases to be Yored V'Lokeit, they could go down to the to the trees in the and the orchard and take off the fruits, as long as no one's seeing them, again, because of the Isur of Mar Sinai that we discussed before. Or you could say, Bozer Vizer is Yored Velokate. Let the Baal Bayis, the guy, do the Lakita for the sake of a Jew. And we should say that just like it's mutter in the case of a Yerek Shu Vadei Kalayim, and even in Orla, in Chutz Laretz, the Issur should only apply in Noteah if someone plants the tree of Orla, or if the Jew himself is Malakit B'Yadayim. And the Gemara answers in defense of Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'omer Le Shmuel Rav Hanan, Shmuel told Rav Hanan, Tnei, you should learn in the Mishnah, O Zeh V'Zeh Yored V'Lokeh, O Zeh V'Zeh Yored, Yored V'Lokeh, O Zeh V'Zeh Yored V'Lokeh. In both cases, whatever it is, we should equate the dinim of Orla and Kelayim. That's how Rabbi Yehuda is going to understand it. And that's what Shmuel told Rav Hanan, that we should be machria, we should equate Orla and Kelayim as far as Chutzlarts. They're both derabbanan. It's not clear which direction we're doing that. Amar Breid Ravina Masni Lekula Zevaze Yored Velokate Ubilvachlo Yilkot Biyat. That in both cases, in Orl and Kelayim and Chutzlaretz, we can be Matir Yored Velokate. That even the Jew is allowed to go down and pluck the fruits. Just clarify that last point. Again, the two possibilities of Lechumer Lekula here is Zevaze Yored Velokeach. It means that if the fruits are being sold outside the pardes, the Jew is allowed to buy them. And that's called lechumra. Or zeh v'zeh yored v'lokate, it means that the Baal Bayis is allowed to go down to the field, and even though he's being authorized as an agent for the Yisrael, he's allowed to pluck these fruits, whether it be the Yerokos in the case of Adi Kalayim, whether the case in the Orla and Chutz Laretz, the only thing he's not allowed to do is Ubilvad Shelo Yilkot Biyat. So the Gemara's final conclusion of Mar Brei D'Ravina is Lekula, that the Yisrael doesn't have to wait until the fruits are sold outside of the parameters of the field. He can actually have someone go down to the field, namely the guy, and pluck the fruits, the vegetables, on his behalf. He himself is not allowed to go down into the field. All right, we'll stop here.